I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Esther, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 16. Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter. But you and your father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." Then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word.
Lee, thank you for that reading. What I want to talk to you about today is that the church needs you, and it needs you now. We find ourselves at a moment in time where the battle between good and evil is not going well for us Christians. In sports, we call it the time when the game is on the line. In the military, it's called D-Day, the battle that will win or lose the war. In business, it's the sale that will put us over the top and into the black for the fiscal year. When I think about what's happening in our culture today, right now, and considering that we are standing on the edge of a new millennium and anticipate the opportunities that lie ahead for our church, I believe that we are at a strategic point in time. You and I are here with an opportunity, the opportunity of our lifetime. Our study today in lesson text was a turning point in Esther's life. Allow me to tell you about Esther. She was born in about 538 BC. That's when the Jews were exiled in Persia. And they could return to Jerusalem to rebuild their temple. But many of them were afraid to go there. They were so used to what they had in Persia, they were afraid to step out. And against that backdrop, the story of Esther happens. The Persian king had decreed that he wanted to find the most beautiful woman in his kingdom to marry. Now, Esther was a poor Jewish girl, an orphan, and she was raised by her older cousin, Mordecai. He had become her adopted father, and he raised her well. And she was named the queen because of her extraordinary beauty, but also because of her grace. The king genuinely loved Esther, but he didn't know that she was a Jew. Meanwhile, in the king's court, there was a fellow there, not a very nice man, named Haman. And Haman plotted murder against all the Jews. And he did that because Mordecai, Esther's adopted father, had refused to bow down to him one day on the steps of the king's court. So Haman managed it to get the king to sign a decree to kill all the Jews under his control. At stake were thousands of God's people. The people were in distress. A day had been set for them to die. Now Mordecai learned about that, and he sent a message to Esther. And Esther, he asked her to go to the king and talk to him about it, because the king loved her so much. But Esther was afraid. There was a rule at that time that if you entered the king's presence without his specific invitation, you were subject to death. So she answered Mordecai back, "No, they'll kill me." Then Mordecai said to her what we heard in our reading. Basically, Esther, if you don't do anything, I don't care if you're in the king's court. He's going to find out that you're a Jew and you're going to die. Then Esther recognized that she had to do something. So she asked that Mordecai have the people pray for her, pray with her. Now that's got to go down as one of the most incredible turning points in history. Basically, if you do nothing, don't think you will escape. In many of our lifetimes, we know what happened in Germany, where people knew things were going bad, but they didn't say anything. And there was a saying at that time, don't worry about the guy that's going off to that camp now. But without you saying something, guess what? When it come a day, you're going to go too. So the challenge that Esther received could very well be like the challenge that our Savior has for us right now. At this point in time in our lives, God has placed us where we are, not just to enjoy the benefits of life in America, but to build His kingdom and to help His people and fulfill His promise. That's what we're here for. God created each one of us, each one, with a unique set of talents to be used for God's purposes. There are things that you can do that no one else can do. We have a God-given niche where only we can fill it. Now, I don't know about you, but when I say the words key player in God's plan, many of you probably think about someone in ministry. But I hope from this day forward, when you look in the mirror, you will see that key player in God's plan. You are that person. Of all His millions of children, you are the one God has positioned here at this point in time to rescue the people around you. Now you are here at this point in time because, one, God's people are in distress. Today here in America, we aren't living with a physical threat of death, but Christianity is worldwide. Here, we see a drop in church attendance. We see families that are breaking down. We see the decay in morality. Wherever there are God's people, there are enemies of God. You are where you are at such a time because God's people are in distress. They need you. Now, God's person has been discovered. You are God's person. You're here. God has given you gifts for you to use in His behalf. If you've ever experienced brokenness in your life, if you think that you've been dealt a tough hand, there's a beautiful lesson for you here. If you've been crushed in life, if you have a troubled past that is fractured, then you can learn an unforgettable truth from Esther. So what is God looking for in our hearts? He's looking for a teachable heart. When He looks at your heart, does He see a teachable heart? You know, God issues challenges to us and His teachings in many ways. He does it through His Word. He does it through the church. He does it through family members, our friends, our bosses, our co-workers, our fellow students. I want to encourage you to let God teach you, not just this week, but the rest of your life. He'll speak. It may be through your reading of the Bible. Or it may be a talk that you hear on the radio or a tape. Are you teachable? I believe we are. God is looking for a prayerful heart. When Esther knew in her heart that God was calling her, she acted. She told Mordecai to have the people begin praying for her. Now she realized there was a risk by her going to the king unannounced. Death was a definite possibility. But she did it. We have another example of that in our Savior. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He prayed, if possible, let this pass me. But it didn't. But He went ahead. He suffered a fate that's terrible. And He did it for each one of us. He stepped up, didn't He? Like we should do. Now, we as individuals aren't the source of power. Sometimes we think we're powerful. Sometimes we think we know everything. We certainly sometimes think we know more than God. Unfortunate, but we do. Now, the source of the power is God. Through the Holy Spirit, He will faithfully empower us to take actions that we need to help the Christians who are in distress and our church. We've just recently gone through a pledge campaign. God wants us to do so much, not just with money, but with our time, our efforts. But we can't do this work as a church without resources. You each have gifts from God. He has given you many things, given me things immeasurable. And I, in turn, have the opportunity, as do you, to give back a part to God, to continue His work through this church. So, this week, seek God's will for your life. Now, God is looking for a sacrificial heart, a heart that will give time, a heart that will give talent and treasure. God challenges our values. He challenges us to decide what's important in our life. We, to fulfill the appointment God has given us, need to let go of selfishness. We need to let go of our need to be in control. We've got to let go of our telling God when it's convenient for us to work for Him. We've got to sacrifice our time, our talents, and our treasure. Now, there's not going to be some celestial shout that says, do this. There would be no flash of lightning that's going to wake you up. It just doesn't work like that. So don't sit around waiting passively for something to happen. A tremendous opportunity is here before us now as a church family. This is a time to stand up and be counted. What are you doing to stand up? To stand alone? To answer the call of God? Are you struggling today? Caught between a rock and a hard place? If you are, stop. Take a breath and look around. Look for the hand of God leading you and orchestrating the events around you. Who knows? You may begin to realize that you've been led to this place, this point in time, by God's hand. It's no accident that we are in Central Christian Church at this time. Like He did with Esther, God is challenging each one of us. Who knows? He may have placed you right here at this time with that thought in mind. The whole course of our lives has led each one of us to this very point. God knew that you would be interested enough in the things of God that you'd become a part of Central Christian Church. Excited, we hope, about where your church is going. God has appointed you to this point in time. This church and God need you now. God wants you to accomplish His work of redemption through the ministry of this church. The only way this church can make it is if every member and every attendee or tender at Central Christian steps up and says, okay, count me in. I'm in this race. I'm not on the sidelines anymore. I'm here to work. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I want to do something that will last for all eternity. God knows everything about each one of us. And he sees us as his masterpieces and will never give up on creating us, each of us, to be everything we can be. But to do that, each one of us has to let God take control of our life. When I decided to apply what talents I have to ministry, there was no flame danced about my head. There was no great light. There was no voice came down out of a cloud, say, "Hey, John, this is what you got to do." No, but there was a drive that I couldn't escape. It didn't make any difference where I went, whether I went in a closet, whether I went in the woods. I just couldn't get it out of my mind. And so I made the decision with my wife to do ministry. And I've got to tell you, that was the best decision of my life. I've done many things. I've got many awards. I've got medals. I've also done some bad things in my life. But this decision to work for God is the best decision I've ever made and is giving me more pleasure to do his work than anything I have ever done before. And it can be the same for you, for each one of you. So today, if you don't know Jesus, he's here. He's here with us. He loves each one of us. He died to pay the penalty for our sins, not his. He was sinless, but he did it. And he rose again, praise God. But now, God has done his part, and he will continue. But it's our turn to act. It's our turn to step up and do what we've been called to do. To use the talents God has given us in his behalf. It's our time to act. Pray with me, please. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're weak. We have problems. Sometimes we think they're insurmountable. Unfortunately, Lord, we don't remember to turn first to you to help with those problems. We ask that you be with us, that you help us to be what you want us to be, and to help our church flourish and grow by us reaching out and bringing others to your side. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.